First John. And in this reading, the Apostle John tells us that God is love, and God is the source of all love. We are called to love the Lord Jesus and to love one another. But what does that kind of love look like in our day-to-day lives? Our reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. St. John writes, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to be seated. So I got to ask, does everyone have the card? Anybody need one? We want to make sure you have it. And as good, I see one waving in the back there, a bunch of them. Our hymnody, our so much of what we do together is all about love. And before we dive any further, I want to pray with you. Lord God, we thank you for the power and work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your great love for us. And we ask that through your Holy Spirit, you would not only help us understand more deeply that love, but that we would truly take it to heart, that we, each one of us, is loved. And we are loved as a community. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So, I'm speaking of the hymnody, and let's take a look at the heart here. Because just even the song we just sang, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, I want you to listen up to a couple of these words here, a few of these words. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down. You know, divine love came down in the person of Jesus. And he is all compassion. He's pure, unbounded love. That's who our Lord Jesus is. And we, throughout Scripture, get repeated messages of God's love. We get it, especially in the New Testament, all throughout the Gospels. And today we're really going to be focusing in on the Gospel of John and the writings of John. And the most famous of all of his writings about love, from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Now, one thing to keep in mind here is that Jesus is saying this to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, had 500 years of tradition behind his training. And one of the things that had happened in that 500 years for the Jewish people was, you know, they had been taught that they are loved by God. But one of the things that had begun to creep in, and really by the time that Nicodemus got his education as a follower of God, was that it wasn't so much about love, it was about how much you did. So if you wanted to show your love for God and you wanted to be accepted by God, you had to do things. You had to give a certain amount. You had to wash your hands in a certain way. You had to eat certain food. You had to follow certain observances. You had to, I mean, they had a list. And if you wanted to be accepted by God, you had to show how much you obeyed God. Because for them, obedience was love. And so, you know, it really started getting messed up. I love that Jesus spends so much time with him. And, I mean, if you look at John chapter 3, it's almost an entire chapter. It's this conversation between Jesus and this Pharisee. And one of the things that we see Jesus going right to the heart of not only Nicodemus, but the whole movement of how things have gotten so twisted around, was that Jesus was telling him, look, Nicodemus, it's about God's love for you, not what you've done for God. Let me ask you something. Do you think that we as Christians get twisted around sometimes with this? And we think, okay, as I was looking at this, getting ready for these texts, I was reading C.S. Lewis about love. I was reading about all the different meanings of love and all the different Greek words for love, and we could have gone there had we had weeks to just talk about love. Could have done it. But as I started going back through the Gospel of John, as I started going through the letters of John, First, Second, Third John, and especially First John, I didn't realize, man, John, as he's writing, is an old man. He's that follower of Jesus, but he's writing when he's in his 70s or 80s. And I almost imagine him looking at this Christian movement and saying, you know what, we need to remember about love and about Christ's emphasis on God's love for each one of us. Because how is it that we can walk in this life and serve the Lord and love other people? Well, according to Jesus, and John brings this out so wonderfully, the only way that this can happen is for us to receive God's love and to rest in God's love and to simply understand that we are beloved. God so loved the world. That's where it begins. Begins right there. And if we jump to 1 John chapter 3, we see this verse. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Notice this. Is that about our love for him? What we've done for God? No. I mean, we see Paul will say, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So long before we ever loved God, God loved us. God loved you. So let me ask you a question. With all of the people on the planet, think of all the people on the planet, does God love them? Absolutely. Do all the people on the planet believe in Jesus? You see, God's love for us is not dependent on our faith. Right? And one of the great things we get to proclaim to the world, and especially to those who don't know Christ, is that they are loved. We could hand them a card like this. In fact, I'm going to invite you, if you have a friend that needs to hear this message, and they may indeed be a follower of Jesus, but you'd say, I'd like to give this to them. Or you have a coworker or a friend in school, grab a couple extra, we'll make some more. And those of you listening on the radio, I know you can't see this card, but we'll have some in the church office if you swing by and want to pick one up. But here's the thing. Jesus died for all people. And our job is to go out there and tell them that. That Christ has died for them. And that if they want to experience true love, if they want to experience salvation in Jesus Christ, then they need to know the one who died for them. You know, when I put the heart up here on the cross, you can't see it, but I nailed it. My heart is nailed to that cross. Because this is the symbol and the power of what Christ has done for us. So see what great love the Father has lavished on us. He has poured it out that we should be called what? Children of God. And that is what we are. That is what you are. As you see, as the Holy Spirit opens your heart to Christ, you begin to realize, I'm a child. I'm a beloved child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in fact, I want you to turn to somebody right now, and if there's somebody kind of sitting off to the side, I want you to look at them and say, you are loved. Go ahead and do that right now. And you know what? I know that there are people in your life that you may say, I love you, too. And that's important. But I think even more, and in fact far more important, is to know that they're loved by their Creator. That they've been made in the image of God. And the thing is, you can say confidently, even if you don't know the person, you can hand them a card like this and say, you are loved. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you're doing, regardless of how far away you may be from God in your lifestyle or whatever it is you're doing, the fact remains that they are loved, that you're loved. I'm going to jump up to verse 16 of John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. And this is how we know what love is. You know, remember I said I could sit here and I could define love in all sorts of ways and talk about agape love and filial love and all of that. But you know what? John just sort of lays it out there. And he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. For you. A lot of times when we hear us, we think, oh, well, all of them. It's for you. He laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for that other person. He laid down his life for that family member who has drifted away from the church, perhaps drifted away from God. And this may come as a challenge. Jesus Christ laid down his life for that person you can't stand, that you're not getting along with. He laid down his life for them and for you. Let's get into the text for today. We're going to really run through it, actually. So in 1 John chapter 4, we start out, John is just saying, he's saying to us, to the followers of Jesus, dear friends, let us love one another. But also let's understand where this love comes from. Because if you really want to love the people around you, you really got to do your best to see them through the eyes of Jesus. Remember, to be able to say, you know what, Jesus laid down his life for you. And if I'm going to love the way that God calls me to, I got to understand that love, the source of love, is God Himself. I always love the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. And we see that the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the very first fruit is what? Love. We have love, joy, peace, patience. And one of the things that, if you're having trouble, how many of you have ever had trouble loving somebody? How many of you have found it challenging? Boy, that hand went up awful fast over here. That is the truth. And you might think, okay, God, I know that you've told me to love this person, but I'm really struggling, and I need to learn more. No, well, okay, maybe you need to learn a little more. But what's the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Love. So what do you need? You need more Holy Spirit. And so when I'm having trouble loving somebody, or there's a really challenging time, you know what I try to remember to do? I try to remember to say, Lord, I don't have the love within me to do what you're calling me to do, but I know you do. So send, pour your Holy Spirit into me. Pour your Holy Spirit into them, that we may love with your love, your sacrificial love, with your kindness. In fact, how many of you have ever prayed for patience? Okay? I want to suggest something to you. Yes, pray for patience, but take a step back and say, you know what? Lord, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. Lord, send me your Holy Spirit that I may have the patience from you. In fact, that, Lord, may I have the patience with them that you have with me. May I love them with the love that you have for me. Because I know that that love comes from you. In verse 7, continuing on, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Okay? It's just the reality of what God's up to. And in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Remember, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. If somebody isn't loving, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for them. That they would come to know Jesus Christ. Or if they say they know Jesus, I have a friend that always said, you know what they need? They need more Jesus. Okay? We all need that. But to pray for them, pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives as well. God is love. Verse 9. And this is how God showed his love among us. You see how this is, I mean, it's continuously, there's very little here about us loving the other people. John just really wants us to understand that the source, the heart of love is God himself. And he's almost knocking us in the head here. Like, understand this. God is love. This is how God showed his love. In case you don't understand this, love among us, he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have life through him, or live through him. You want true life? You want true life, children of God? You want to live through him? Then know the Son. Come to the Son. Come to the cross and look up at the crucified Lord. And that was done for you. What he did here, he did out of love for you, so that you might have life. And then, again, here goes John again going, hey, get it in here through your head. Get it through your thick skull. Verse 10, this is love, not that we love God. Can you almost see him saying this to Nicodemus the Pharisee? Nicodemus, it's not about you loving God, but that he loves us, that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then he's going to shift gear in verse 11 a little bit. Dear friends, since God so loved us, since God so loved you, we also ought to love one another. Okay? So he is saying, now that you're full of his love, now that you understand that you have the fullness of God's love within you, that you are absolutely beloved as a child of God, now you're ready to go out and love other people. Now you're able to go out and forgive. Now you're able to extend grace and compassion the way that God has intended you to live and to love and to serve. And in verse 12, finally, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. All that John is saying here is that, you know, we receive God's love. That's his message. Understand that you are being filled with God's love. But he's saying there needs to be a flow out as well. You know what happens to a body of water that just has, especially a very large body of water that just has water flowing in and nothing flows out? Now some of you have tanks like that, but not counting that. What happens when you have all this water going in and nothing going out? You get the Dead Sea. Massive body of water, the Jordan River, the life-giving Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, but there's no outlet. And so everything evaporates, the water evaporates, and all that's left is salt and minerals. And you really can't grow anything in there. Right? You brine shrimp. But that's the same with us. If we, all we ever do is receive love, receive love, receive love. And what John is saying is, it's also, God has made you. For your love, for God's love to be complete in you, it has to come in and go out. There needs to be that flow. See? And so that's why we do it. Not to earn God's favor, but so that God's love can be complete within us. And then just jumping, last verse. 1 John 4:19-4. We love because he first loved us. That's why we love. Because he first loved us. So as you go today, I want you to remember that heart. I want you to remember that heart. And I want you to remember that message and hold it close to your heart. And I know it says you are loved, but when you look at it, I want you to think. Think that to yourself. How many of you need that reminder? And you know what? If you need another card, for one for work, one for home, one for the dear blind, whatever, take one. I'd love for you to have it. And as we sing this song, I want you to, you know, some of our great hymnody gets this so right. And we're going to sing the song, but I want to highlight some of these words from Joyful, Joyful. Henry Van Dyke set. He has the words, and it's set to Beethoven's beautiful song. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. And notice this, hearts unfold like flowers before thee. You know what? God's love is made complete. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, praising thee, their Son above. And then jumping down all the ways, thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. That's what he's doing for you. He's ever blessing you. He is the wellspring of the joy of living. He is an ocean depth of happy rest for you. And we praise him as we say, thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live and love are thine. Teach us how to love each other and lift us to the joy divine. May we pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are giving and forgiving. You are ever blessing us with your love, and that you are indeed the wellspring of joy in this life. Open our hearts. Help us to know and trust that we are indeed loved by you, and that you came for us.